and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I have a main text from John chapter 11, verse 25. I am the resurrection and the life. I have a supplementary text from Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 12. I shall open your graves and shall put my spirit upon you, and you shall live. My gospel text comes a few verses later than the portion of the chapter we read about the raising of Lazarus. You could even see it as the climactic text of all four gospels. It marks the last of the seven signs of the first half of John's Gospel, some of which include the phrase, I am, and therefore signal the divine presence in Jesus. In the Old Testament, God is the I am that I am. The first sign occurred at the wedding in Cana. Jesus is the new wine. The feeding of the 5,000 acts as another sign. Jesus is the living bread. A further sign of the divine presence occurred when Jesus offered living water to the Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus is the living water. We arrive at the sixth sign in the healing of the blind man. In the light of Jesus, the blind see light. Jesus is the light of the world. So Jesus is the new wine, the living bread, the light of the world, and finally, he is the resurrection and the life. The thirsty are refreshed, the blind see, and the dead hear the divine voice and live. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was the life of men. Jesus is the quickening word of life. When we arrive at the signs of light and life, we are coming to the final stages of the great transition from the old creation to the new creation in Christ. The seven signs of John parallel the 7 days of the old creation. At the wedding in Cana, at the very beginning of his ministry, Christ changes the water of the old dispensation into the wine of the new. At the Passover, at the very end of his ministry, Jesus, the Paschal Lamb of the new order, replaces the sacrificial offerings of the old order. The Lamb of God becomes present as the life of his people. The new order is at hand, and it moves dramatically forward from the last days at the end of time to the present time. And this comes out in the story of Lazarus, where Martha speaks of a resurrection to come. Jesus answers by speaking of resurrection now. I am the resurrection and the life. He who is to come is already present. We notice two things about the stories that bear the signs of the divine presence. First, they are moments of mutual recognition. When Jesus engages in dialogue with the woman at the well, or with Martha and Mary, they recognize him for who he is. Martha says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." And in these encounters, Jesus becomes aware of the immensity of human need he cannot satisfy. And he often recoils from the sheer pressure of importunate demand from every side. On hearing Lazarus is sick, he delays. And yet, when he arrives too late, he responds with such passionate weeping that even the bystanders recognize the depth of his love. Second, there is often a mismatch between what is desired of Christ and what Christ offers. The people desire food and drink. They want to see and to live. That's very human and understandable. But Jesus offers something more. He offers the bread of life and the living water. He offers light in the darkness of the world and resurrection through death to eternal life. And as the story of the woman at the well makes clear, Jesus is also extending the salvation offered to the Jews to all humanity. The temple of the Lord is neither in Jerusalem, as the Jews suppose, nor on Mount Gerizim, as the Samaritans suppose. It is found in the temple of his body, given for humankind. The time approaches, and already is, when those who are real worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. We have to see the sign of the death and raising of Lazarus as pointing forward to a far more significant sign, the death and resurrection of Jesus. And one clue is found in the story that immediately follows in John chapter 12. In that chapter, Jesus is invited to a supper given in his honor by Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. Martha serves and Lazarus sits with Jesus. But Mary takes very precious perfume to anoint his feet, and she wipes them with her hair. This is her act of lowly and loving service. She is anticipating the washing of the disciples' feet before supper by Jesus only a few days later. And she also anoints him in anticipation of his burial. Everything John tells us is pointing forward. The supper with Lazarus, Martha, and Mary foreshadows the Last Supper, where the body of Christ is broken for us and for our salvation. On Passion Sunday, we stand with Jesus in the shadow of the cross. Let us, in conclusion, look at the differences between the raising of Lazarus and the resurrection of Jesus. The raising of Lazarus is simply a reprieve for the time being, though greatly to be desired, because it offers opportunity to reconstitute the intimate circle of love. But Lazarus will die again, whereas the scripture makes it very clear that Jesus, being dead, dieth no more. The raising of Lazarus is the encounter of love with death. Jesus loves Lazarus profoundly and weeps for his death. But then he raises his eyes to heaven, gives thanks, and says, "Lazarus, come forth." Lazarus hears the all-commanding voice. Lazarus is unbound. As in Ezekiel, these bones live. Love is strong as death. The power of death unravels. There are other differences. In the case of Lazarus, he emerges from the tomb, still wrapped in his grave clothes, and with the horror of bodily corruption. The very word Lazar is redolent of the charnel house. In the case of Jesus, the grave clothes are folded and put on one side, and his body has not seen corruption. The body of Lazarus dies in the course of nature and is subject to the ordinary processes of dissolution. The body of Jesus dies by processes of nature initiated by the evil nature of man, but it is not subject to the ordinary processes of dissolution. The marks of the nails and the wounds in the side are signs that the body of Christ was arrested by treachery and made subject to appalling violence. The sign of the death and raising of Lazarus in St. John's Gospel does not speak of the redemption of the world. Like all the other signs, it anticipates and foreshadows the redemption of the world. St. John is telling us that through Lazarus, God is glorified. God will be glorified again when the Son of Man ascends the cross of shame and converts it into the last and final sign of victory. The cross is the power of God made manifest in love through weakness. For if I be lifted up, will draw all humanity unto me. Amen.